don't even see the school. You don't even know the school. Because your attention is completely and utterly focused on the very next thing that is happening to you, which is this next tennis ball that is on its way to me. And so when you swing at this ball, you swing at this ball knowing what you want to do with it, and, you know, and then, you know, I mean, there's a whole sort of, there's a whole sort of a range of moments taking place. You see that the ball is coming, is coming. You're getting ready. You know, one of the best ways that I can describe the moment is like the movie The Matrix, you know, where once he enters into the Matrix, the guy actually sees the bullets flying by him. And yet he keeps moving his arms and he keeps going. And he is not even worried about winning, or he's just flowing. Yeah, the guy is just flowing. You know, we often hear this term, you know, oh, that guy really flows in the spirit, you know. And it's the same thing on a tennis court. You know, when you swing away, you know, you're just swinging away because that's what you're doing. And winning and losing, it loses its essence. Now, maybe that doesn't answer the question, but, you know, it's a very difficult thing to explain as far as, you know, what it feels like or what it looks like, because of the simple reason that, you know, it's almost like driving a race car. You know, I've driven race cars, and people say, what is it like? I say, well, you got to do it. I can't really honestly tell you. You can't compare it to a normal car. And it must be the same for flying a plane. You know, you got to do it. You know, I can tell you a little bit how it feels, but you got to do it. And it's like, it's the same thing with being in the moment. You know, when you're in the moment, time stops, and it no longer, you don't consider failure, you don't consider triumph, you just consider the moment.
Oh, okay, and I would like to take a swing at that. I think that really pretty much wraps it up. But from my experience, John, on that, and I'll use the tennis metaphor, is that when I'm playing and I sense fear, that's more historic. So that's the past. I'm back there.
Right.
And I literally have to say no to that. And then when I'm playing and I'm thinking, okay, hey, man, it's 40-15, one more point and we're out of here. When I start rearranging the future of points in the future, I know I'm going for the win. And I got to bring myself back from that, and I go, no, I just have this point here.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned how to do is that if I swing away and miss it, I praise myself for having swung away. And I don't look at the fact that I lost the point as any bad thing. Actually, I look at it as a good thing because I gave it everything I had. So
remember, Jeff, sorry to interrupt you, but remember I said, John, that when you are fully present, there is no fear. There is nothing. It's just the present. Because fear requires an event to attach itself to, because, again, it comes from your ego, from your mind. Your mind is the alarm going off in your mind. And when you are present, your mind is completely still. Your mind doesn't have any, it has no use. You're living from your heart. So your mind is completely and utterly still. It's like a cup of tea. There is nothing going on there, nothing. And winning and losing has to do with outcomes. Outcomes have to do with whatever reason you want to win or lose, or you don't want to lose, fear of rejection, lack of affirmation, man's praise, success, fear of losing things, fear of not having things, whatever it is. Yeah, we can have a list as long as from here back to America. But the fact is, when you're fully present, your mind is still. And if your mind is still, you're living from your heart. So, you know, there isn't a winning and a, in eternity, there's not going to be about winning and losing, failing and succeeding. We're just going to be. We're going to be in the presence of God, having a great time with Him. And, of course, I'm sure we'll be doing other things. But we'll be there fully present.
Pablo, we got a great saying around here in our house now. It's your ego is not your amigo. And we point that out
true.
At each other.
I like that.
Any other questions? I've been looking through the questions that we've had, you know, through the conversation, and actually you just answered, Pablo, about 10 of them. I don't know that we have anything, you know, to bring back up that you haven't already answered.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, John Hart put one up. He said, living in the moment, pursuing the genuine desire of my heart, regardless of the result, simply for the sake of the desire itself, is the question?
Yeah. Sam, let me take a swing at that one.
Please. Yes, Sam.
So I'll tell you one of the things that struck me about some of the stuff Pablo's been talking about is I've been convicted about playing to win, as he's been talking. So 2 or 3 years ago, I started a blog, and most of the stuff I did on my blog was trying to write something that I thought other people would like, okay? And I have 3 different circles of people who listen. I have people who are in the calling, I have some people who are in the charismatic renewal, and I have a set of people. I live in a really academic area, so I have a lot of academics. And so I would write or, you know, video something I thought, this is something the academics like, or this is something like the calling or Wild at Heart guys would like. And, you know, people would listen and respond. And then a couple months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I just felt like God say, Sam, what do you care about? Not what are other people caring about, not trying to write something successful, but just what do you care about? What do you like? What are your desires?
Yeah.
So I started to write that, and literally my response is exactly 5 times. It's you know, 500% greater response. Just when I don't, pardon my French, when I don't give a shit what other people are wanting, but I'm just saying, what is God saying to me? What is God saying
exactly.
to me? And so I'm not trying to win or lose. I'm just doing whatever I feel like God is stirring inside me.
That's right, man.
Amen. Amen.
And the thing is, when you're in the moment, you are. It's just you have only an audience of one, and that's God. There is no audience. It's just there's only one audience. That's you and God, and God is your audience. You forget the rest of the. You know, if you're in a tennis match, you forget the stadium. If you're in an office, you forget your colleagues and everybody else. You know, there's an audience of one, so there is no competition. You're not going to compete against God. You'd be stupid to. You lose every time. There isn't a matter of winning and losing because there's no one to beat. There's no one to impress. There is no one to be afraid of. There's no one to run away from. It's just you and God. And that's why Jesus, I believe he lived in the moment every time. He came up to guys. I mean, I live in Israel, and I've seen the Pharisees here. And they're scary people. They are very scary people. And back then, they had swords and javelins and other things that they don't have today. So I can imagine how much scarier they were back then. And the guy went in the temple, overturned tables. He went and told them, you brood of vipers, you bastards, you hypocrites. I mean, he shamed them. He embarrassed them in public. And yet, you don't see Jesus running away. You know, you see him slipping around, getting out of the way so they don't throw him over the precipice and they don't kill him. You know, fine. But you don't ever hear Jesus being afraid of something. You know, he walks into, I was in the Galilee the other day, you know, and I'm trying to imagine a little turby boat jumping up and down in the waves, and here comes, you know, and I was in the mountain, and in the very mountain where Jesus prayed after he fed the 5,000, which is just opposite the place where he sat them all down, and I am looking down at the Galilee where Jesus would have looked down, and he was going to go down to meet the disciples. And I'm sort of thinking, you know, there's a storm in the water. Imagine what it must have been like in the mountain, yeah? And yet this guy goes down. He goes in the water. He walks in the water. And then in the middle of the storm, he tells Peter to come out. I mean, look, there's a storm going on, and this guy is so present. He's like, oh, there's an opportunity here. I'm going to get Peter to walk on the water. Peter, come. And, you know, Peter being Peter, he goes in there, right? And then what happens? He walks on the water while he's fixing it. But the moment he begins to get scared and he begins to look around, in other words, when Peter walks out of that boat, he's fully present. He's only got, all he's aware of is Christ. The moment he takes away himself from the present moment, then he becomes aware of the waves, the water. He's in the middle of the lake, the wind. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to drown. And what happens? Sure enough, he begins to drown. And that goes back to what you were saying, Gary, about, you know, oh, my gosh, this is going to fail because I'm involved in part of that. And you see, and that, and Jesus says to him, come on, man. You know, and I don't believe he said, oh, you of little faith. Come on, man, you unfaithful thing. You know, get up here, man. Let me get you up here. And he got him in the boat, and then whatever happens, happens. But this is what I believe. This is where Jesus lived. I completely
Amen.
Amen.
I completely believe that. You know,
yes,
and the more I visit the places he was at, and I walk the trails he walked, you know, I am convinced of that.
Yes. I am too, Pablo. And I'll tell you, the reason why I'm having this conversation is what I really want to tell everybody is that I think, even as we get older, God is going to ask more risks of us. He's going to ask us to keep going. And there are those fears. The reason why we're talking about these fears and going back and finding out where the scene of the crime is because there are things that we still have to get over in order to pursue our relationship with God. Because if we don't, we're just going to stay right where we are in our comfort zone. And I'll tell you what, when we start just staying in our comfort zone, you lose something. You just stagnate. And God is going, no, we're going to move on. And he keeps asking me to take more risks the older I get. And I feel like it should be the other way around. And, you know, we've gotten so comfortable with our reputation and our status and our way of life that sometimes I mistake that for the voice of God. But if I'm really hearing right, he's saying, go. Take a risk. Go ahead and play. Matter of fact, play with all your heart, you know. And I think this is key to this journey, this idea of this journey with God. I'm passionate about that. I really do.
Amen.
I think he's asking more risk of me now than when I was 20.
I would have to agree with that. And I have to agree with what Sam said as well. You know, and I'm not surprised, Sam, of the 500% increase. I really am not.
You know what? And let me just. We probably should end pretty soon because guys are needing to get to some other things, though, enjoying this. Let me go back to John's question for a minute, because, yes, there is, as we've talked about, being engaged in the moment, and in the moment there is nothing for fear to attach to, and swinging away the audience of one with God. But let me go back to this idea that, I don't know if John was really going this direction or not, but where I'm going is there something other? If there isn't winning and losing, and it's being engaged in the moment with everything that you have, but is there something larger that gives us direction? And it's not simply our desire in the moment. It gives direction to our life. In other words, Pablo, when you're coaching a tennis player, they have chosen to enter the world of tennis. That's become their cause. That's become a transcendent thing to them. It's bigger than their life. They want to enter into it, and therefore that alters their world. And so, you know, there seems to be two things. There's one, what is our cause, our direction, our transcendent story that we're entering into? And then there is, once we found that, then it's entering into it fully. If I'm reading John correctly, there's our desire, but is there something bigger than that as well that pulls us in a direction?
Well, you yourself speak about calling, and you know, what a tennis player does, that's not what their calling is, that's what they do. John is an accountant, that's what he does, that's not his calling. And you know, our calling is not what we do, but who we are. And I believe one of the beautiful things about being present is that you become fully who you are. You know, your full potential begins to flow out of you. And so whether that is happening on a tennis court, or whether that's happening playing the guitar, which is what I know John desires to do, you know, you have to understand, it's very important we don't lose sight that there's that relationship with God in all of this. And when you are performing out what God actually made you for, you bring pleasure to God. You know, you remember the Chariots of Fire, the guy said, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. And, you know, while you are acting out this calling, which is what who you are, there is a pleasurable thing going on inside, you know, going on inside you as far as you and God together, you know, and you can almost feel the pleasure of God taking place within you. And so, you know, I know when John does whatever his calling is, he will feel that, and he will be able to to be present in that moment when he's doing that. Yeah, whether he's an accountant, whether he's, you know, whether he's someone like you, Gary, who has a ministry, or whether it's like Jeff flying a plane. You know, when Jeff had that moment, you know, the last thing he thought about was, you know, how do I fly this plane? He was just acting out his calling. He was acting out who he was, and he had that moment. And I don't know if that answers the question, because I don't know if I'm sure I understand the question, but I hope that gives you a bit of an idea of what I'm trying to say.
No, I think that's good. I do. I think, yeah, we go back to our heart and we try to discover, we ask God to reveal to us what is the compelling of my heart, the direction my life is to go, because you want me to go that direction. It was,
yeah.
I was talking to Kevin
like
Miller
me.
Who runs, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like me. I empower people to reach the unprecedented. That is one of the things. You know, I activate within them things that enable them to experience the unprecedented in their lives. Now, that is my calling. That's who I am. And you know, when I'm sitting on the side of a court, I might have the clothes of a coach. But what I'm actually, when I'm in that moment, and obviously I, when I was watching matches, you know, as my career went on, you know, I got to the point where I felt no pressure. Now that is almost a little bit sick, because that's like watching your wife give birth and not feeling anything, you know, and so it's like a little bit. But, you know, I realized that when my father fell down the stairs, which I share in the book, and he was died, well, he actually died in front of my eyes. He was dead in the floor, my father. And, you know, everybody was crying, everybody was shouting, and yet I remained completely present and still, you know, to the point where I didn't cry. And, you know, I know people thought, you cold bastard, how can you know, look, your father's dying. But that's not what was happening. Of course I was concerned, but you see, if I focus on my emotions, what goes on in my head, you know, and my fear and my panic, my father dies. But because I stay cool and God showed me what to do, I took care of it. And, you know, I might be dressed as a tennis coach, but when I am fully present, my calling is coming out of me. I am doing what I am called to do. So, you know, how that is expressed, whether it's through a guitar, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's what your calling, what, you know, what the heart of God is for you, and what he wants to express through your life, you know, whatever he's put in your life that he wants to express through you, and that's happening, yeah, then you're being that. And so, is it really relevant what you're doing outside, I ask?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful, Pablo. Thank you.
I mean,
I'm
you know,
can you not
empower people to reach the unprecedented while you're playing a guitar? Of course you can. Of course you can. Because when you are, whatever you're doing, your calling is flowing. It's almost like an invisible force that goes out of you. And it impacts people. And you know that is real because you come around certain people and all of a sudden you start smiling and they haven't even said hello yet. And then you come along other people and you feel like somebody just pooed on your head because, you know, and you haven't even said anything yet. And it's like totally opposite reactions that you have to the person. Well, you know, there's obviously something that activates that reaction in you, in them, and they could be a garbage can collector, they could be a lawyer, they could be a bank manager. It doesn't matter what you do. Does it really matter? You know, this is what we get so fixed. What do you want me to do, God? You know, I don't know if God is so bothered what he wants us to do apart from being real and being honest to who he made us to be. Because we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yeah, that's really good. That's excellent. That's good. So, hey, this has been great. We've got an hour and 15 minutes now, so thank you again, Pablo.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you. Thank you. This was great. So.
Okay.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you for the opportunity,
all
as
right.
always. And listen, I love you both. Well, I love you all, really. And, you know, I know I'm far from you guys, but listen, there's not a day that goes by, no matter whether I'm traveling on an airplane or wherever I am, where I don't check Basecamp and see what you guys are doing. And also, of course, pray for you all and you know, and particularly to those guys that put the prayer request. So I'm not there I'm not there present, but I'm there in spirit and heart.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you. All right, you guys. Thank you. See you later.
Okay.
God bless.